This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 46 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. The day has come. We've got real regular season football starting tonight, and I know that a lot of you have some start-sit questions, especially after the Dolphins-Bucks game was moved to later in the season due to the hurricane. You Jay Ajayi owners are looking for a running back replacement. The Mike Evans owners out there need to know which wideout to play. And Jameis Winston owners need a quarterback streamer. I've got you covered, guys, because this is the week one start sit show. I'll be digging into some matchups and giving you guys my favorite plays among the more middle-tiered players in fantasy football. Like I said before, I'm not here to tell you to play Aaron Rodgers or Le'Veon Bell. I'm here to sift through some of the more fringe decisions that you have to make. Before we get into the starts and sits, though, I wanted to send a quick note that with the NFL season finally here, remember that you can catch all the games on TuneIn and the TuneIn app. At home or on the go, listen to the home call of every game live, or pop in and out of the action every Sunday with NFL First and Goal. That's TuneIn's audio red zone station. Download the TuneIn app today and listen to the NFL for free for 30 days. TuneIn is your everything audio app. Now let's get to these start sits. The first start at quarterback is Sam Bradford, who's facing New Orleans in Minnesota. You know, usually I don't like looking at what happened last season or the last couple of seasons in terms of fantasy points scored to determine who I should play in week one of a given season. But it's the Saints. Over the last 3 years, and this excludes the fantasy irrelevant week 17. I know that I said this on the 15 Transactions show, but I'm going to reiterate it. Only 6.67% of quarterbacks who have faced New Orleans have failed to post 12 standard fantasy points. The average quarterback going up against the Saints over the last 3 years has averaged over 20 standard fantasy points. Now, like I've mentioned, Bradford last season was sixth worst in air yards per attempt, but it had to do with the fact that he didn't toss the ball deep very often. Only 14.13% of his attempts traveled 15 or more yards through the air, which was the third lowest rate in the NFL among the 33 passers with 200 or more attempts. He was not throwing the ball deep. However, and this is big, he ranked sixth in completion percentage on those types of throws. He actually was hitting those throws when he threw them. And I think that could be very, very big against a leaky New Orleans secondary. The Vikings are also at home. That's definitely a plus. And they're favorites, which is another plus. It all sets up to be a good week for Sam Bradford. Another guy that I like this week is Carson Palmer. He's in Detroit. The biggest downside to me with Carson Palmer is that it's a West Coast team traveling east for that early 1 o'clock game. But aside from that, you have to love Palmer. Arizona's a road favorite. They've got a top 10 implied team total on the week. And the Lions secondary and defense is not very good. They finished last season, according to NumberFire's schedule adjusted net expected points metric, last season they had the second worst secondary. And that's especially true in the slot, where the Cardinals will draw an awesome, awesome matchup with Larry Fitzgerald and cornerback Quandre Diggs. According to PFF, no slot corner posted a worse passer rating against in that area of the field last year. He allowed a 124.2 passer rating in the slot. That matchup alone, Larry Fitzgerald against Quandre Diggs, could make Carson Palmer a reliable option. But I do think he has a lot of upside too. Two other quarterbacks, just to throw it out there, I think you have to start Marcus Mariota against Oakland for obvious reasons. And I don't mind, as a deeper play, using Jared Goff with Vontae Davis not active for the Colts. Again, that's a deeper play. On the opposite end, we have Phillip Rivers, who to me is an obvious sit this week. The Broncos have two of the best corners in football, and that's enough for me to back off of almost any quarterback who's facing them from a fantasy perspective. No quarterback has posted more than 23 standard fantasy points against the Broncos over the last 2 years because of that dominant secondary. And of the 30 quarterbacks who have faced them, this excludes week 17s, quarterbacks have averaged 12.3 fantasy points scored. Rivers has faced Denver 3 times in relevant fantasy contests over the last 2 years. This, again, excludes week 17s. In those games, he scored 12.68 points, 11.12 points, and 6.08 points. No thank you. Another quarterback I'm not in love with, I would play him over Phillip Rivers, but I'm not totally in love with him, is Andy Dalton, who's playing Baltimore. Now, there's big, big question marks about the Bengals' offensive line heading into the season after losing two starters. And Baltimore was not a great team at hurrying the quarterback last season. So maybe the offensive line won't matter that much for Andy Dalton in week one. But the Ravens have a decently talented secondary. Actually, they have probably a top 10 secondary in football with Jimmy Smith, Brandon Carr, Tony Jefferson, and Eric Weddle. That's a scary matchup. To me, if Andy Dalton and AJ Green don't have a big game in this contest, AJ Green has had success against Jimmy Smith in the past, but if they don't get things going, I think it's going to be a long, long day for Andy Dalton. And we also can't forget that Andy Dalton has historically struggled within the division. I also don't think that you can play Alex Smith against New England. That's pretty obvious. And then Trevor Siemian against LA. That's also very obvious. But to give you guys some context, and this is not in the start sit column that I published on NumberFire on Thursday, I would play Carson Palmer over Sam Bradford. But I would 100% be playing Sam Bradford over guys like Phillip Rivers and Andy Dalton. And I would play Sam Bradford even over someone like Matthew Stafford and Eli Manning. I think Sam Bradford is an easy fringe QB one this week. I'm going to start things off at running back with Jonathan Stewart, who's going to be in San Francisco this week. Now, if you drafted Christian McCaffrey, obviously you're going to be playing Christian McCaffrey, but I think that this is one of those weeks where Jonathan Stewart, as that late round running back pick, is actually pretty viable. The Niners have arguably one of the worst front sevens in the league, and the Panthers are 5.5 point road favorites. That was kind of difficult to say. What I'm saying, though, is Carolina should be in positive game scripts throughout this game. The Panthers have been 5-point favorites or better in 5 of Jay Stu's 24 fantasy-relevant matchups over the last 2 years. In those games, Jay Stu is ranked in the top 14 in weekly PPR scoring at the running back position 4 times, 80% of the times. I understand, he's got a split backfield now, but if Carolina decides to grind out clock, I think they'll use their veteran. It only makes sense since it's week one. And in turn, he could have a decent day, especially as a bench fill-in for someone like Jay Ajayi. Another player that I'm kind of intrigued by is Danny Woodhead, who's playing in Cincinnati. Vontaze Burfict and Adam Jones are both sidelined with suspensions. The Bengals' defense does not look nearly as good as it otherwise would. And I think that the Burfict suspension could especially open things up for Woodhead out of the backfield. Cincinnati allowed the 5th most receptions to running backs last year, and the Ravens have targeted the running back position over the last 2 seasons more than any other team not named the Saints. Woodhead appears to be healthy. He returned to practice last weekend from that hamstring injury, so I do think that he'll play. And if he does play, I think that he has a nice floor for you in PPR formats. The last featured start that I want to talk about is definitely more of a risky play, and it's Rex Burkhead, who's playing Kansas City on Thursday night. We just don't have much of an idea as to how this backfield will be split. But what we do know is that Mike Gillisley missed important time during camp to kind of get acclimated to this offense, and Coach Bill Belichick already referenced that, and he said that Mike Gillisley still has some ground to make up. So aside from Gillisley, what's Burkhead's competition? His competition is James White and Deion Lewis. James White is a pass-catching specialist at the running back position. Deion Lewis hasn't proven that he can stay healthy with a large workload. So given the Gillisley situation, Rex Burkhead is kind of the de facto early down back in this New England offense, potentially. Maybe they use Mike Gillisley more than I'm alluding to here. But Rex Burkhead seems to be the guy going into week one. And as 9-point favorites, they should see a lot of positive game scripts. I'm going to reference positive game scripts a lot in this show particularly because it's important for both running backs and quarterbacks. Running backs and quarterbacks both perform a lot better in fantasy football when they're in those positive game scripts. You might enjoy garbage time at the quarterback position, but remember, it takes a garbage performance in the first place to create that garbage time. Positive game scripts are always good. So with Burkhead, his range of outcomes is massive. I'm not saying that he's a lock to perform here in week one, but I do think that if you're in a pinch, he's not a bad option. A couple of other running backs to start. I don't mind Adrian Peterson against Minnesota, and yes, I'm buying into the narrative. And then Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt's another player that people are scared of because of the reports that came out that they could run a committee out there against New England. But really, every backfield has some sort of committee. I would still roll Kareem Hunt out there because it's very, very difficult to find running back replacements that are going to see volume. So let's look at some guys that you should sit. I'm going to start with Joe Mixon against Baltimore. We know that volume is king in fantasy football. Without volume, fantasy points will not be scored. Mixon is currently 3rd on the Bengals depth chart, and Jeremy Hill, we know, will more than likely steal goal line looks from him. So plain and simple, I have no idea how you can feel confident playing Joe Mixon here in week one. Not only that, but Baltimore last season was 2nd best in our schedule-adjusted net expected points metric against the run. They can stop the run. I think there are many better options than Joe Mixon this week. I think he's more of a high-end RB3 rather than the RB2 that you would need in order to start him. The other guy that I think you have to sit is Frank Gore. Like I said on the 15 Transactions show this week, I was very, very high on Gore back in July. And the reason for that was because he had a floor. Without Andrew Luck and without center Ryan Kelly, that floor is gone. He's fallen. There's just not going to be many scoring opportunities for Gore with Scott Tolzien under center, and assuming that the Colts line will get some push is optimistic. This game could be ugly, and it could be really ugly for the Indianapolis Colts, and I don't really want much to do with it. Some other running backs that I would be sitting Matt Forte, who's playing Buffalo. There could be a pretty big negative game script, and if that's the case, Bilal Powell is going to be the one that's on the field. And I also think that you can sit Rob Kelly against Philadelphia. Philadelphia has a very strong defense. Rob Kelly is going to be a touchdown-dependent fantasy asset. So sure, he can dad run and fall into the end zone, but I don't love Rob Kelly this week. I would play a guy like Rex Burkhead, honestly, over someone like Matt Forte. I don't know if I would play him over someone like Rob Kelly because, like I said, he does have some touchdown upside because he is the goal line back there. But I think you can make a very, very strong case that Rex Burkhead is actually a better play than Rob Kelly this week. But things just have to go Rex Burkhead's way a bit. I already mentioned it, but Larry Fitzgerald has to be in your lineup if you have him on your fantasy team. He ran over 63% of his routes from the slot a season ago, which means a high proportion of his routes this week will happen against slot corner Quandre Diggs. Diggs allowed a ridiculous 91.11% catch rate last year out of the slot. Now, when Fitz moves to the outside, Darius Slay is a much tougher matchup for him, but it would make a lot of sense for the Cardinals to try to exploit this matchup against Diggs. I think Larry Fitzgerald is a fringe wide receiver one this week. I also like Jeremy Maclin a lot. He's playing in Cincinnati, spent a lot of his time also in the slot last season, running nearly half of his routes from that location on the field. In three wide receiver sets, Jeremy Maclin's going to be in the slot for Baltimore this year. And he'll probably play on the outside a lot as well with Breshad Perriman there. But this matchup, the Bengals don't have Adam Jones due to a suspension, which means Maclin is going to catch a lot of Darquez Dennard. And that's a plus matchup for him. This probably won't happen much this season, but I do think that this is a week that you can start Sammy Watkins. I've told you, I'm not the biggest Watkins fan from a fantasy perspective this season. He's been one of the best deep ball receivers in football over the last 2 years. Jared Goff last season was lowest in the NFL in air yards per attempt. The match right now does not look good. But with that being said, Sammy Watkins gets a Colts secondary that will not have Vontae Davis this week. Jim Saunas, my colleague at NumberFire, noted, in the four games where Davis played fewer than 50% of the team's snaps last year for Indianapolis, the Colts allowed a 9.79 adjusted yards per attempt and a 9-1 touchdown interception ratio. And the other 12 contests, so these are contests where Vontae Davis did play 50% or more of the snaps, that adjusted net yards per attempt dropped to 7.32, and the touchdown interception ratio went from 9-1 when he didn't play to 18-7 when he did. The Colts secondary is beyond atrocious without Vontae Davis. If the Rams passing attack does not do something this week, guys, you should be worried. You should be very, very worried. Some other wide receivers that you have to start, Stephon Diggs against New Orleans, a great matchup there on the outside, and then Kelvin Benjamin against San Francisco. From a sit perspective, Tyrell Williams is a very, very obvious choice. Against every non-Broncos team last year, he averaged 15.13 PPR points per game. Against the Broncos last year, that number was 3.6. He averaged 3.6 PPR points per game in the two games against Denver last year. I expect the Chargers to funnel their volume to their tight ends against Denver because that's typically what teams do against Denver, and that's definitely what a team like the Chargers are going to do because they have very able pass catchers at tight end. So not only is this matchup bad for Tyrell Williams from a personnel standpoint, but he might not see much volume either. In that same game, I also don't love Emmanuel Sanders. You know, we always talk about how good the Broncos secondary is, but we can't forget about LA, the Chargers, of course. The Chargers had the 10th best schedule-adjusted secondary according to our numbers at NumberFire last season, and that was without Jason Verrett. Verrett missed 12 games last year. Casey Hayward stepped up and was a stud last season. And now, they get Jason Verrett back. That combination is one of the best 1-2 punches in all of football. I think volume for Sanders will be there because they have no one else to throw to, but regardless of which corner is lined up against him, it's going to be a tough matchup. Naturally, against the Arizona secondary, I don't love Marvin Jones this week, and I also don't love Kevin White against Trufant. At tight end, one of my favorite plays of the week is Delanie Walker against Oakland. I've mentioned before, I think it's very, very possible that no pass catcher on Tennessee this season reaches 100 targets. So Walker, who's been pretty reliable over the last couple of seasons, might not be as reliable week to week as we would hope. But he gets Oakland this week, who has issues at middle linebacker and inexperience at the position. That's where Walker is going to catch passes. He can exploit that for Tennessee. The Titans also have the sixth highest implied team total of the week, so points are going to be scored. It would not shock me if Walker finds the end zone this week. I love him as a tight end one. Another guy that I think that you can get away with playing, and I mentioned him on the 15 Transactions show, is Kobe Fleener. I said this early in the week, but in the one game that Willie Snead missed last year against the Falcons, Fleener tallied 7 catches on 11 targets, which was a 20.37% market share, for 109 yards and a touchdown, while playing 77% of the Saints snaps. That was the third best fantasy performance of his entire career. And again, it makes sense that Snead, as the slot receiver, would be replaced by the only guy who can really catch passes in that area of the field, which is tight end Kobe Fleener. They don't have a natural replacement right now for Willie Snead. I don't love the matchup against Minnesota, but I think that Fleener could see enough volume to kind of combat that. So if you're in a pinch, he's a very serviceable option. Other dart throw tight ends, Charles Clay might see some volume in that Buffalo offense, so you might be able to play him against the Jets. And then Jermaine Gresham against the Lions defense that struggled mightily against the tight end position last year, and that defense looks very, very bad. This is more of a dart throw play, but you might be able to get away with it this week. My single sit at the tight end position is Jack Doyle, who's in Los Angeles this week. Again, I can't stress it enough, I'm not into this Colts offense at all in week one without Andrew Luck. In 2014 and 2016, with a healthy Andrew Luck, the Colts have ranked at least 5th in tight end receptions, at least 3rd in tight end yards, and at least 2nd in tight end touchdowns. Without Luck for part of the 2015 season, Colts tight ends were 15th in receptions, 26th in yards, and 21st in touchdowns. It's almost like Andrew Luck matters. I can't get behind playing Jack Doyle this week at all with Scott Tolzien under center. I also think in shallower leagues, Eric Ebron has a tough matchup. In normal leagues, you can probably get away with playing him, but in those shallower leagues, you know, 8 or 10 team leagues, I would not be playing him. And while I'm higher than most on Jared Cook this season, I would just wait to see how he's used in that offense before slotting him into my lineup. And for those wondering, I would be playing Kobe Fleener over Jack Doyle, but I probably still would play Ebron over Kobe Fleener. Lastly, at defense, you gotta play the Rams defense. Let's pick on Scott Tolzien. The Colts have the third lowest implied team total of the week. They're on the road, and Tolzien has just 3 NFL career starts. In his only start last season, it came against Pittsburgh, he threw 2 interceptions and he was sacked 3 times. The Rams are probably on most of your waiver wires. I would play them over most defenses this week. I also like Pittsburgh against Cleveland. I like Buffalo a ton against the Jets, and I don't mind Jacksonville against Houston either. On the opposite end, I would be sitting the Minnesota Vikings against New Orleans. There are people out there who think that Drew Brees isn't just worse on the road than versus at home, but he's actually bad on the road. That's not true, guys. Over the last 3 years, he still has an above average 7.38 yards per attempt average, which is barely worse than what we've seen from Tom Brady on the road. So let's relax with this narrative. I think Minnesota should be fine defensively this year, but this is a game with a relatively high over-under, and it's against Drew Brees. And despite Drew Brees not being at home, they're a risky play. And I think that's especially true when there are so many backup quarterbacks and bad quarterbacks that are getting starts this week. Why would you focus on a defense that's playing against Drew Brees? It makes no sense to me at all. Sure, they can perform. Any defense can perform in a given week, but I don't think it's likely. I think 2 obvious sits also, I would not play Seattle, even though Seattle's defense looks amazing right now from a personnel standpoint. I don't know how you can play them in Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers. And then I'd also sit the Giants against Dallas, and that's especially true with Ezekiel Elliott playing. But that's going to do it for the first Start Sit show. Thanks everyone for listening. I hope at least it guided you a bit in some sort of direction. As usual, you can subscribe to the show by going to iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, and TuneIn so that you don't miss another show. And as promised, I do have the 2 winners from the iTunes rating and review contest that I've been running this month. These 2 were randomly chosen to get a year-long premium subscription from NumberFire. Those 2 usernames, the first one, JackieB2908, and the second one, Conroe Brian. Both of you guys can email me at jj@numberfire.com and I will hook you up. Otherwise, thanks again to everyone for tuning in, and I'm sure that we'll do another giveaway in the future. If you're listening to the show on Thursday, enjoy the hell out of the Chiefs-Patriots game, and I'll be back tomorrow with the weekly mailbag show.